In this portion of scripture, I want to preach to you this morning on Samson and to focus on the dangers of backsliding. And I remember even back in my own childhood that years ago when I first discovered how to use matches, I was completely drawn to the fact that even at that young age, I could start a fire. Well, there was truly something in that flame that had a magnetism to it. It's so enticing that it drew me ever so close to even play with it even more. My mother would always warn me not to play with fire or else I would get burned. And even worse than that, to do harms to others, to do harm to others even as well as myself. Therefore, we're all familiar with the saying that if you play with fire, then you're going to get burned. This same principle applies to the backslider who is playing with sin. It is only a matter of time before you get burned by the sweetness of sin in which you dwell yourself in. In the life of Samson, most often people remember him as this great Hercules of the Hebrews. And we often come to terms with some Hollywood films that will portray Samson as a marvelous character, a character of strength, in which he did have. But yet they would always take focus off of God. And we must always understand that this is always God's story and God is always the center of the message. And in the life of Samson, most often we remember him for that great gift of strength the Lord gave him. Well, in all these things, God called Samson to live a consecrated life. He was called to live a life of separation. Separation from the unclean thing. And he was called to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. But Samson, you see, a peculiar character played with the sweetness of sin that caused him to backslide. And therefore falling short of God's standard with his sin and disobedience. Samson's life is a clear warning against the dangers of backsliding and how willful sin and moral weakness can lead to great damage in a Christian's life. So therefore, the dangers of backsliding, I want to preach to you on the three marks of a backslider drawn from the life of Samson. So I have three major marks this morning that I want to draw to your attention. And that is the first mark is that a backslider does not live a consecrated life. So let us go through that as we see here in Judges chapter 13, verse 7, as it reads here, "But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no drink, no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Samson was called to be a Nazarite. As we see in 13, verse 5, this means God called him to be separated from the world and to live a consecrated life unto him. There we see very early on that this great deliverer of the Israelites is going to be a Nazarite, a consecrated man unto God himself. But as we read, and we know very quickly, those of you who are familiar with the story, that Samson very quickly violated all three of the commands given to be a Nazarite, which caused great grief upon himself, and not only upon himself, but also his people. And you see, the first danger is here that a willful sin and a backslider does sometimes not always only cause damage to himself or herself, but causes damages to the people around them. Oh, we see parents praying for a wayward child or a backslidden child that knows the way, that they can cause great grief on the hearts of the parents. Oh, we see the great danger of backsliding. And very quickly, as Samson violated all three of the commands given to be a Nazarite, which caused great grief upon himself and his people, that Samson lived to please himself. Yes, the great Samson here, as he lived to please himself, and I'll show it to you here. If you can turn to chapter 15, verse 12, and I'll read it to you here. As it says, 15, verse 12, as it says here, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. So we see here, 15, verse 12, in the beginning of the story, we see Samson already living to please himself. Here we see the violation of the Nazarite law by Samson taking a Philistine woman to be his wife. And in chapter 14, verse 3, we see Samson's parents pleading with him. As we see here, it says here in 14, verse 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And you see here that Samson truly went to please himself. And the grief caused upon his parents, that even as his backsliding caused grief to others. And notice here that even after Samson's parents were pleading with him not to take her, but here we see the response from Samson. Notice what he says here in his response. He says here, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now that's not living a consecrated life, but despite all this, God sovereignly overruled the flaws that Samson's character possessed and used it for his good purpose towards Israel. And you see, Samson's life truly becomes a lesson in the tragedy of self-will. His marriage was a clear violation of the law, but nevertheless, God sovereignly overruled the defects in Samson's character to bring about his good purpose to Israel. And here we must always understand that God intervenes in a special way, even when man does fall short. That God always intervenes. And here we also see that he lived to please the world. In Notice chapter 14, verse 10, here we see also another violation of the Nazarite law by Samson attending a drinking feast. And 14, verse 10, it says here, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, in verse 11, reads here, and it came to pass, then they saw him, and they brought 30 companions to be with him. And here we also see that he pleased to live the world, because this was another violation by Samson attending a drinking feast, as Samson engages himself in gambling by pleasing his guests, which at this time were his enemies. So we know that Samson is in a place he's not supposed to be in. Here is the man that's supposed to be delivering Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, but yet he's caught here dwelling with the enemy. And not only that, but engaging even in drinking and gambling here, where he says his enemies by proposing a reward, 30 sheets and 30 change of garments for anyone who can answer his riddle, as we see in chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And that was Samson's riddle. And here he was gambling with the garments of other people. So here, as we come to see Samson's wife plead for the answer, we see that Samson gives in eventually and tells her the answer to the riddle, which we see in chapter 14, verse 17. And I read it to you here. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. So here we begin to see the great downward spiral of the great dangers of backsliding. And once again, I bring it up to you that here is the man that's supposed to be focused on delivering his people from the Philistines. But yet, you see here, he's caught in his own self-will. And you see the backslider, he gets caught in his own self-will, no longer living to please God, but rather to please the fulfillment of the flesh. And here we see a great consequence as we keep on reading here, that this eventually led to a destructive wedding, with the Philistines getting the answer and the riddle from Samson's wife. Therefore, Samson had to kill 30 Philistines to get the garment and to pay his debt. You see, the danger of backsliding is that you're not living a life of separation unto God. We must understand that when we are saved, we are called to live that separated life. Samson, in many times in his life, lived to please himself rather than to please God by living that consecrated life. This caused much grief in Samson's life and even to those of his people. And we didn't have to wait very on that when the angel of the Lord did come, as we read the first opening chapter 13 there, where it says here that God right off the bat called him to be a consecrated man unto God. He's called to be a Nazarite. You see, here God calls his people to live consecrated lives, not by living to please themselves, but to be submissive to God and to please him. And while sometimes we see even Christians themselves that they're so quick to bury their own, because they see a fellow Christian when he backslides and there's another Christian pointing the finger rather than helping the brother or the sister up. But here they are pointing the finger. No, that's not the way the Bible teaches. We're not to bury our own, but yet we are to seek the Lord. If this, you see, the great danger of backsliding, the great danger of backsliding does have consequences. Hear then, hear the Lord calling to live a consecrated life unto him. It was often preached that whom the Lord justifies, he sanctifies. So therefore, let us move on and see here that the second mark of a backslider is that a backslider is not in God's will. Although Samson was a called man, and I want to be very clear here, although Samson was a called man, he was not always in the will of God. And even Christians today, that yes, we are called to serve the Lord, but yet, are we always in his will? Are we always in the will of God. And that's something that we must ask ourselves even here this morning, that if you can say in your heart, am I in the will of God? Well, as we see here in the study with Samson here, that Samson followed his own will. Chapter 15, verse 9 here, as it states here, when Samson bound by Judah, says, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. When Samson followed his own will, it caused great bereavement, not only for himself, but also the people that he was trying to deliver. And in chapter 15, verse 9 to 13, we see greater persecution on the people of Judah because of Samson's revengeful actions towards the Philistines. So now we see that Samson's actions are causing even harm on the people he's trying to deliver. He's actually causing more harm with. And as we keep reading here in verse 10 of chapter 15, it says, and the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? Why are ye come up against us? And they answered to bind Samson, are we come up to do to him so he hath done to us? The very people he was meant to deliver. And in verse 11, then 3,000 men of Judah went up to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? Trying to get through to Samson. That all through all his self-will and through his fulfillment of his own desires, his people are suffering. Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. You see that when Samson followed his own will, it caused great bereavement, not only for himself, but also for his people. And here we see greater persecution on the people of Judah because of Samson's revengeful actions towards the Philistines. And notice their words as we just read, what is this that thou hast done unto us? And Samson's actions led to greater persecution upon his people. And you see, that's truly the life of a backslider. Is that when you are living to fulfill your own lustful desires and you're going to please the world rather than pleasing the Creator? Well, it's only a downward spiral, isn't it? And Samson relied upon himself. Samson relied upon himself. If you turn to chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went unto her. And it was told to the Gazites, saying that Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him the night of the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson's displaying his strength in this passage, showing him running up to the top of the hill, as it says here, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders. Well, he's actually abusing the gift that God has given him. That God has given Samson this great strength for a purpose. And here he's caught, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders. His great gift that the Lord gave him was abused after we see him in chapter 16, verse 1, going to see a harlot. And it says, and he went unto her. Notice the words, when he went down there's Samson. He went down to Timnah, down to the place that which he knew in his heart that this was the place of sin and wickedness. And yet there was something there that drew him in. Just like I told you about that magnetism of the fire, that there's something that draws people in. Well, same with sin, has a magnetism to it. And that's why we are not to rely upon ourselves, but to look up and to call upon God Almighty. Not to rely upon ourselves to break the bondages of the devil, but to call upon God because of his work on the cross. That there is power. There is power over the wicked one. And here also, as we go on to see that after this, we see in chapter 16, verse 13, that Delilah is now recruited to betray Samson. But Samson did not see the seriousness of the situation and began to rely upon himself. So here we must understand that Samson did not see the seriousness of the situation. And if you talk to any backslider, you'll know that even if you are a backslider this morning, that you dare not know your seriousness, that where you're headed. You see, because when you backslide, you really do rely upon yourself. You forget about God. And as Samson abused his gift that God gave him by using it for his own will, and you see, this caused much tragedy in Samson's life. And so it does also in those who have backslidden from God. Well, may this be a warning to us to see the great consequences of backsliding toward God. And may he put this warning even in our hearts that we are to learn something this morning from Samson's doings. And I want to take it even a step further to you here this morning that Samson was so far backslidden, he didn't even know that Samson didn't even know that the Lord was departed from him. That is, we see in chapter 16, verse 20. Notice what it says here. I'll read it to you. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will." Notice what he says here. "I will." There's the self-will. "I will go out as out of other times before and shake myself." Here he is again, relying upon himself. But notice the ending here, what it says. "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He didn't even know that the Lord was distanced from him. "And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him." What a sad thing. What a sad thing it is that how a Christian backslides from the Lord, once walking close in his presence, once seeking the Lord day in and day out, but now far from God. How far gone in backsliding. Some are so far gone that they even think that God is still with them. God is still very near to them. But the reality is, he is very far. You know why? Because you see, God knows what's best. God always knows what's best for his people. And you do not know better than God. No one knows better than God. He knows every hair on your head. So why go on in your own self-will? And here, let us look at the third and final mark, is that backsliding has consequences. And here, I don't have to prove to you that this morning, as we just read, we seen very quickly the consequences of Samson's actions, that not only did it have for himself, but also the people he was trying to deliver. And Samson's willful sin hurt himself. Samson's willful sinning caused great scarring in his life. His inability to control his lustful desires caused irreversible damage to himself. As we see him seeking a prostitute in chapter 16, verse 1, we see the physical damage of how also here in chapter 16, verse 21, of how it says here, I'll just read it to you. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Now, what a situation that is, that here is the effects of his wrongdoings, and yet the enemy is physically taking his eyes out. And Samson kept giving into temptation, as we read in 16, verse 15, that Samson put himself in a situation where he was exposed constantly to temptation by dwelling with the enemy. Well, when he was in the chamber with Delilah, she constantly tempted Samson to reveal his source of his strength. And we see three instances where Delilah tempts Samson, and Samson lying to her in chapter 16, verse 7. And then again in 16, verse 11 and 16, verse 13, three times that he gives her the false source of his strength. But after the third temptation, Samson, he finally gives in and reveals the true source of his strength in chapter 16, verse 17 here, as he tells her that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And you see here, Samson, as he gives in to his temptation, reveals the true source of his strength. So therefore, truly, we all know that saying that if you play with fire, then you're going to get burned. And you see here, we can learn something from the life of Samson here this morning, that although Samson, he got burned many times, that Samson had gotten burned many times because of his willful sin and always giving in to temptation. And you see the great danger there. When you're always giving in to temptation, there's a great danger. He disregarded again this special rule, as we read in chapter 13, verse 5, that no razor shall come upon his head. And the angel of the Lord. But yet Samson again violated God's command. How many times have we disregarded God's command by sinning? But yet here is the Lord, so very quickly to take back his sheep unto the fold. When the Lord Jesus Christ said that I know my sheep and they hear my voice. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You see, this mark of a backslider is of great importance. What a great danger it is. Willful sin, but remember, Samson lost his eyes. And that truly was irreversible. In backsliding, there are things that sin can scar you with. Perhaps you have scars here even this morning. But praise God, we are forgiven by the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. But give heed and give warning to the damage that sin could cause. here, if we are asking the question, well, how can I be restored? Oh, preacher, I've been backslidden for many years and I've been going with my own self-will. Well, let's see how Samson was restored. So in conclusion, there is truly only one thing you can do, and that is to call upon the Lord thy God. Dare not trust in your own efforts. Dare not trust in the efforts of the church. Call upon the Lord thy God. And as we come to the end of Samson's life, in chapter 16, verse 28, here is Samson praying towards the end of his life. It says here in verse 16, chapter 16, 28, it says here, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Remember me. Same words as the thief when he was beside the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. What did the thief say? He says, Lord, remember me. And remember, the Lord did save that thief. And here, as we go on to see that the Lord does remember. When you do cry upon the name of the Lord, he will be there. You see, God had a special purpose for Samson. And so does God have a special purpose for you. He has a special purpose for every believer. And if you are in this meeting this morning, I tell you, God has a purpose for you. Yes, the dangers of backsliding, it's impacting God's will upon some people's lives. But Samson had a very special gift of strength, and that the Lord gave him, his purpose was very clear, as stated in chapter 13, verse 5, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. That was his purpose. And he was supposed to deliver Israel from the enemy, but yet he was found dining with the enemy, taking a wife of the enemy. And here, Samson's call was impacted by his backsliding. And here we see the climactic message here is that God Almighty, forget about Samson. Even in Hollywood, they want to focus on Samson and his strength and look at this great man. But who gave Samson the strength? We must focus upon God. Here, God overruled sovereignly his sin for the better. And here, God is calling to live a consecrated life. And here, if you are living a backslidden life, that we are, you are not living to full potential in the eyes of the Lord. And although God departed from Samson to show him how worthless he truly is without the Spirit of the Lord, and if there was one man that truly knew the Spirit of the Lord, that it was Samson. You see, nothing ever good comes from disobeying God. God knows best. He knows all things. He's omniscient. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. So therefore, trust in him. Do not disobey God here this morning, but be restored. Repent and call upon the Lord thy God, and he will hear you. The great Samson, the very end of his life, that God placed them in between the two pillars of that great false god Dagon. Samson, as he was drawn and made sport, drawn in between the two pillars. And there, God used him to tear down the false religion of his time. It says there that he slew more there in his death than he did in his life. Chapter 16, verse 30, as it reads here. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. What an ending to Samson's life. And although Samson had his struggles, he was still counted as a hero of the faith. And I don't want to, although we are focusing on Samson's backsliding here, I want to show you that if you look in Hebrews, they talk about Samson being a hero of the faith. There was many good things that he did. And as we go down the rugged path of this world, I want to end with Andrew Byers' great hymn. O backslider, there is pardon. Christ will save you from your sin. Fill your yearning heart with gladness and receive you back again. Come, oh, come then to the Savior. Cast your doubts and fears away. Plunge into the healing fountain there to save your soul today. May the Lord bless his message even to us this morning. And let us turn to our final hymn in conclusion of this service. Let us bow our heads in prayer.
for dismissal. Our Father and our God, we thank thee once again that we're able to come to thy mercy seat. And Lord, we ask of thy, thou would dismiss us in thy blessing. And Lord, we pray for journey mercies for those who are traveling. And Lord, we thank thee, O Lord, for this portion of scripture, the life of Samson, Lord, that we are seeing that even the dangers of backsliding, Lord, that thou would truly override, that thou did override even in Samson's life. Lord, to knowing that thou art the great merciful Savior. Dismiss us thou in thy blessing, Lord. Give us every blessing we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.